نعم المولى ونعم النصير. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله الحكيم في كتابه المتين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألم أعهد إليكم يا بني آدم أن لا تعبدوا الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين وأن اعبدوني هذا صراط مستقيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Shaitan is the subject and how he deceives people. And he is revealing his playbook so that everyone understands how he deceives you. And one of the ways that I mentioned yesterday that he's mentioning in the Quran, he says, وَلَعَمُرَنَّهُمْ فَلْيُبَتِّكُنَّ آذَانَ الْأَنْعَامِ. I will command them and they will be cutting the ears of cows and cattle. I will command them to cut the ears of cattle and cows and they will cut it. The fact is that slitting or cutting the ears of cows has no meaning. So what Shaitan is saying is that I'm going to make them, order them to do stupid things, and they will do it. I will ask them to believe in baseless things, and they will believe in it. They will believe in things that have no basis. They will have faith in things that have no evidence, no proof. Just they will believe it. And they will believe in stupid things. They will believe in idiotic things. They will act stupidly. They will act idiotically. I will make them do that. And you see that. This is how many people are misguided by Shaitan, because he makes them do and believe things that have no basis. Islam is a religion that Allah has sent that is based on reasoning, on evidence, on proof. Allah wants you to reason. He wants you to use your intellect to find the basis of your belief. The basis should be in revelation. Allah has revealed the religion. There is revelation. There are people who came with the revelation, the Prophet and the Imams. And hence, everything we believe in goes back to the Quran and Ahlul Bayt. So we have basis for what we believe in. And we need to look at the things we believe in, check them again, and see whether the things we believe in came from Allah and Ahlul Bayt, or are they the creation of Shaitan that he made us believe in things that have no basis. Because that is how khurafats in actions and in ideologies come about. Khurafat are like heresy. In English it's called heresy, you know, becoming a heretic, meaning doing things that have nothing to do with religion and they are something that have no basis. This heresy that comes about, these khurafats, where do they come from? You see that when you look back at them, you see they have no basis. They have no proof, they have no evidence, but we start believing in it. We start acting in it. There's so many things you'll see in many of the things that even the followers of Ahlul Bayt do. How many of those things go back to Ahlul Bayt? And how many of those things are made up by us? we have no basis for. We need to look into those things, you know. My children, I want you to understand this, that Islam is based on strong foundations. It's not based on no evidence and just baseless things. You know, we need to understand how these kharafat, these heresies come about. Let me give an example so you understand this better. Send me salawats. You know, a man got married and his wife, she was making dinner the next day after the marriage. She was making dinner for him. He saw that she was going to broil a chicken in the oven. So she put the spices, marination and everything, she put it on the chicken, you know. And then after she did everything, before she put the chicken in the oven, he saw that she took a knife and she cut the egg at the edges of the leg, you know, where the leg of the chicken is. She cut off the endings of the legs. She cut out those legs of the chicken. He's like looking at that and said, why'd she do that for? You know, the bone part, just that bone part, right? She cut that off. He says, hey, I mean, I never saw that being done. Why do you do that? He said, it's a family recipe. It makes the chicken tastier. He said, maybe, I mean, you know, so he's trying to think of the reasons how and why and what. He says, you know, really, where do you learn that from? He says, well, my mother taught me this. Wow, you know. So, yeah, what's the reason behind it? She says, I don't know, you know, but it's a family recipe and it works. Okay, great, you know. So, now they went to the mother-in-law's house, the mother's house, next week, and they had dinner there. And the mother-in-law, she also made chicken, and she also cut off the legs, the ending of the legs. And so he asked her, listen, you know, your daughter does the same thing, and you do the same thing, and she says a family recipe. What makes it tastier? I mean, what makes it so good? She says, really, I don't know. I learned it from my mother. It's a family recipe, and it works. It's really tasty when you do it like this. Wow, you know? So, you know, I need to ask the grandmother then. So, next month, they go to the grandmother's house. They go to the grandmother's house, and, you know, so he says, you know what, I'm going to raise the issue with her and ask her. So, he goes to the grandmother and says, listen, your daughter and your granddaughter, right, they always cut the ends of the chicken legs before they cook it, you know, and they said this is a family recipe, they learned it from you. Why do you do that? The grandmother looks squarely at his face and she says, I don't do that. He says, but your daughter and granddaughter said that you do that, they learned it from you. She like looked at them and said, what, did I teach you that? He said, yes, that's how you used to do it all the time. She looked at them and then realized, oh, no, no, in those days my oven was small, the chicken wouldn't fit, so I had to cut the legs. Salawat
alaikum.
Chicken was too big for the oven, couldn't fit in, and now you see it became a family recipe, it tastes better, and all these other things added to it. This is how kharafat are created. You know, they have no basis, you know, and when we make them up, we just keep on doing it. Now it becomes an aqidah for us. It becomes our faith, our ideology. This is our aqidah. And just want you to understand what aqidah is in 2 minutes. Just pay attention, it might be a little bit subtle, but just understand, aqidah, what is aqidah, my friends? Really, because the emphasis in Islam is not on aqidah, really it's not. See, aqidah is from the word aqd. Aqd means to tie a knot. you know, a knot. It's called aqd. For example, you know, like for example, we have in the ayat, وَنَّفَاثَاتِ فَالْأُقَدْ, that, you know, like for example, in magic, they blow on the knots. They tie knots and they blow on the knots. Right? So, this is called aqd. Aqd is like, whenever, my friends understand this, whatever the mind, the heart gets attached to things that it likes. You know, for example, it likes a painting, it gets attached to it. This is called an aqd. Right? There's an aqd being made. It likes a sport and it gets attached to it. Oh, I love baseball. Okay, what is that from? That is the heart being attached to something. The heart, the qalb, its job is to get attached to things that it likes. Faith. We get attached to, for example, different things. Everyone has different tastes. Everyone has a different mindset. And they get attached to different things. Right? Everyone gets attached. So this attachment is called up. Now some people, for example, they get attached to Ahlul Bayt. So this is called Aqeedah. They have Aqeedah. They say, I have Aqeedah in Imam Hussein, for example. Meaning I'm attached to him. My heart is attached to him, for example. Now, at the same time, our heart is also attached to spaghetti with meatballs, you know. You know, I love spaghetti with meatballs, you know. So, I have aqidah in there, right? It's an attachment. So, aqidah, all it means is an attachment. It's an attachment. It doesn't mean it's right or wrong. See, aqidah could be right, aqidah could be wrong. Aqidah has nothing to do with being right or wrong. Aqidah just means to be attached. I'm attached to something. I like something. Being attached to it. This is called aqidah. And you see, Allah did not say that I want aqidah from you. Or I want your aqidah. Why? Because the same way you will be attached to me is the same way you will be attached to biryani and ice cream. You know, you like Allah, you like biryani. What's the difference? You see, it could be right or wrong. It could be anything. I like movies. I like this. Whatever you like. If you're attached to it, you have aqeedah in it. I understand this. Allah never asked for aqeedah. You see, aqeedah is anything that we attach to ourselves to, whether it's right or wrong. But when we use the aql to filter what we are attaching ourselves to, when we use our aql, when we use our intellect to filter what we are attaching ourselves to and only get attached to things that our aql has filtered and made sure that this is the truth, made sure that this is right. When the aql becomes the filter for our heart, then the heart, the aql would never let anything wrong reach our heart to be attached to. You see, if you take a sifter, if you put flour in the sifter, it will sift the flour, it will keep the bad stuff away. So you only take the flour to make the dough, right? Use a sifter for it. Just like that, if the aql, if the intellect becomes a sifter to make sure that the only thing that goes to your heart is useful, then this aqidah we have, after the aql has sifted it, this aqidah, that where the aql is involved in it and the aql has already made sure that this is right, that aqidah is called iman. That aqidah is called iman. That's why Allah did not say, I want your aqidah. He said, I want an iman. Iman is that which can save you, not aqidah. Understand this. And this is the reason why, for example, we use our aql and intellect to understand what we are attaching ourselves to, what we believe in. This is called iman. Allah never said that the only ones who will be saved are illa ladina aqiduna wal amilus salihat. Right? Allah didn't say those who have aqidah and do amilus salihat. Allah said no, those who have iman and do amilus salihat. Allah said the thing that will save you is iman, not aqidah. Because aqidah means that you have attached to it without aql making sure that this is the truth. So anything we get attached to, we need to use our aql to make sure that this is the truth and this is right before we attach. catch ourselves. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala
ali.
So shaitan makes us believe in stupid things, my friend. He makes us believe in baseless things. And we believe in it. And many things that we believe in and that we do, you will see, have no basis in it. And this is because shaitan has made us do it. And the reason he does it is because he himself has done it. He himself has made a stupid decision and a stupid choice. And now he gives that to us. See, whatever he gives to us, he has already experienced it. You know, he is the first one who has taken a drink and then he said, hey, it's good for you all, take it. You know, he is the first one, you know, who did the harm. Whatever he is misguiding you with, he is the first one who did it. And you see that, he is the one who made, who was stupid at the beginning. No one else was stupid, he was the one. You know, Allah, when he told everyone to make sajda, shaitan did. So Allah asked him a question. He says, Ma mana'aka an la tasjuda iz amartuk. Understand the question of Allah. He says, what prevented you from making sajda? What prevented you from making sajda when I commanded you to? I am the one who ordered you. Why didn't you make sajda? Understand the question of Allah. How he is asking the question. This is very important. When the question is asked, then you answer according to the question. You know, Allah is saying, listen, I commanded you to. I'm the one who told you to. And you didn't make sajda. And what was his answer? Ana khairun minhu. I'm better than him. Allah is saying, what do you mean you're better than him? It has nothing to do with you being better than him. Who cares if you're better than him? I didn't say you make sajda to him because he's better than you. I'm saying you have to make sajda because I commanded you to. Yeah, I'm the one who commanded you. It's my hukum, my amr. I'm the one who made it. Why did you make sajda? He said, because I'm better than him. Yeah, it's like, for example, you know, you have a son, you know, you tell your son, go to sleep. So he says, you know, I'm handsomer than my brother. What does it have to do with anything? I'm telling you to go to sleep. And you are saying you're handsome than your brother? Who cares if you're handsome than your brother? I'm telling you to go to sleep. I mean, really, does that answer make any sense? It is a stupid answer that has no relationship with the question. Allah is telling Shaitan, hey, listen, I commanded you to make sajda. He's saying, I'm better than him. Who cares if you're better than him? I didn't say he's better than you or you're better than him. I didn't even say these things. It has nothing to do with you being better or him being better. What it has to do is that I am commanding you. This is my amr. This is my hukum. I am the one who's telling you. And then he explains his stupidity. I mean, you know, when you give a stupid answer and you know it's stupid, it's better just to keep quiet after that. Don't try to explain it, because really, you become worse. You know, when you try to explain the stupid answer. You know, you give a stupid answer, just, okay, you know what, that's stupid, I mistake, I'm sorry, I'm dumb. I apologize for my dumbness. That's it, walk away. Right? Walking away is the best way. But you see, when you try to explain your stupidity and your ignorance, then you become worse. You look worse also. Now at first he says, Ana khairun minhu, I am better than him. Then he explains that. He says, khalaqtahu min teen wa khalaqtani min nar. You created him from clay and you created me from fire. Now my friends, understand, you know, we heard this many times, but I want you to look at it from a different angle. Alright, I want you to look at it from a different angle now. Really, look at this. He's saying that, listen, I'm better than him. Why? He's explaining his stupidity now. One, you know, this answer of it has nothing to do with Allah's question. But then he explains his stupidity and says, you created him from clay, from dirt, and you created me from fire. And, you know, it's a given, it's a math given that, you know what, fire is better than clay. Who said that? Who said fire is better than clay? Where did that even come from? In which encyclopedia is it written that fire is better than clay? In which poll is it shown that fire is better than clay? I mean, what poll are you reading? What encyclopedia are you reading? Where did you get this fact from? This is not even a fact. You know, who made fire better than dirt? There is no such thing. You see, again, Shaitan is just being stupid. And he is explaining his stupidity and becoming more stupid. This is what happens, my friends. Whenever, this is Shaitan, he has shown that. Whenever you oppose Allah, the first thing he takes away from you is your intelligence. The first thing that you lose is your intelligence. It doesn't mean you're not clever. Yes, you're clever, but you're not intelligent. You see, we need to understand these terms. Being clever is different. Being intelligent is different. You can be clever, but you are stupid because you don't make intelligent choices. Being clever is different. Being intelligent is different, my friends. Having aql is different. The first thing Allah takes away from you is your aql. You know, this is something you need to understand. For example, a lot of people nowadays equate education with intelligence. What does education have to do with intelligence? It has nothing to do with intelligence. You can be very uneducated and still stupid. And you have no education, you'll be very intelligent. It has nothing to do with that. A lot of people say, oh, he's very educated, he's very intelligent. What do you mean? Education has nothing to do with it. If education made you intelligent, then there are many educated people who are scientists who still believe in idols as God. Didn't their education teach them that you don't worship stones and idols? They're worshiping stones and idols. So these are called educated idiots. Right? Who don't know that you should not, as an insan, bow down before wood and animals. You see a rat, they're bowing down before a rat. God, our rat god. I've seen it. You can go to India and see that. Very educated people. Highly educated, but they're worshiping cows. Right? They're worshiping all kinds of crazy stuff. Why is that? Friend, understand it. Educated doesn't mean you're intelligent. What Allah takes away from you is not your education. He takes away your intelligence from you, your aql from you. That's why Imam Ja'far Sadiq alayhi salam. He had said that all praises for Allah. Thanks be to Allah who has made our enemies ahmak, asfar, stupid. You know, he has made them stupid. He has made them unintelligent. Really. I've heard, understand that. This is what happens. When you oppose Allah, the first thing he takes away is your intelligence. You know, it was the night of hijrat, the night of migration. There were 40 assassins who were standing outside the house of Rasulullah, waiting to assassinate. Not one, two, but 40 people outside your house. The Prophet had left Imam Ali to sleep there and he had gone. And they were waiting to assassinate. And I understand this. Rasulullah is alone inside. Apparently for them. They don't know it's the Prophet, right, or not. They're assuming it's the Prophet, right? So they think it's the Prophet. They're looking inside the window over the thing, you know, is he in there? Yeah, he's in there. You know, okay. Right? They're all waiting with their swords, you know? They're getting ready. You know, and all night they waited. The whole night they waited. Right? The whole night went by, they waited. The issue is this, right? And in the morning they came in. Right? But I want you to just look at this whole scenario really carefully. The whole night they're waiting. Why? I mean, you know, if I was an interview journalist, I'll go there and say, hey, you know, what are you guys doing out here, you know? He says, we're here to assassinate the Prophet. He says, where's the Prophet? He's sleeping inside. He says, and what are you all doing now? We are waiting. Waiting for what? We're waiting for him to get up. If you had to assassinate him, right? If you had to kill him, isn't it easier to kill him while he's sleeping? What are you waiting for? They're waiting the whole night so that he can wake up so they can go and kill him. If you want to kill him, please, it's easier to kill a sleeping man. He can't defend himself. Go and kill him. But you see, what is it that is making them stay awake the whole night in that hot summer night with the bugs all around them waiting outside? Oh, they're saying, oh, we are waiting for him to wake up so we can kill him. What's wrong with you all? Go inside and kill him. What happened? My friend, understand this. Is this intelligence or is this stupidity? I mean, you would rather go and kill him while he's sleeping, but you're outside waiting the whole night. This is what happens when you come and oppose Allah. Allah takes away your aql. You lost your aql. What's wrong with you all? Look at you. There. Now, let me give another example of Sufi Salawats. Salawat al Muhammad. And you know what? You know, they feel like, you know what? Hey, we need to kick ourselves, you know? We're waiting the whole night here, waiting to kill him, he's becoming prominent in front of him. Why? That must be a terrible feeling when you're like, you know, bamboozled like that, you know? Hoodwinked. Whoa, what happened? And then what happened after that? They go. They go behind him. Now, I don't know, I mean, how many of you been to Hajj or Umrah? You know, Alhamdulillah. So you have been there, right? So now, you know, there is the mountain where the Prophet went and where he hid in the cave, you know, with the companion who saw him walking out. You know, he was with the other 40 assassins and he's the only one who saw him walk out. And he saw him, the Prophet saw him. He had no choice but to go with him because the Prophet saw he's with the 40 assassins. What do you do with the 40 assassins over here? You know, and then you know, he came along with the Prophet, tagged along there, and they went to the cave. They hid in the cave. Now, many people who go for Hajj and Umrah, they go up to the cave, right? I want you to see this. They go up to the cave, right? Now, if you go up to the cave, right, it's about an hour, like more than an hour walk out there. It's really 1 hour, hard walk. It's really steep. You know, you're climbing 1 hour, you know, just to get there, to the cave, to the mouth of the cave. My friend, 1 hour and you're tired. At the end, you're tired. Nowadays, they made some stairs and all that, you know, so it's easier. But in those days, when you had no stairs, obviously, it's like, you know, okay, you climb a mountain, man. For 1 hour, you need to climb up there, and it's all the way up there. So, when you climb all the way up there, 1 hour, it's tiring. You get exhausted. It's really a lot of work, a lot of effort to get up there. So now what happened is that, understand this, the Prophet is hiding in the cave. These people go all the way up 1 hour climb. You know, and like by the time they're up, they're like, wow, you know, 1 hour climb, this and that. So they come to the mountain of the cave. Right? They come to the mountain of the cave and they see a spider web. Now imagine this. 1 hour it took for them to climb up there. They see a spider web and say, oh, it's a spider web, let's walk down. It took you 1 hour to get there. How hard is it to break that spider web and look inside? It's just a spider web. It's just a spider web. How hard is it for you to just say, okay, you know, just blow it and go away? It took you 1 hour to get up there. It only takes 1 second to break that spider web. But they looked at the spider and said, oh, you know what? I don't think you should have come here. Yeah, let's go down. Guys, let's break it up. Let's go inside and see. Make sure. Took 1 hour to get up here. At least do that much. Brother, understand what's happening? What's happening here? It is Allah who's taking away their intelligence. It's Allah who's making them stupid. But you are told this is what happens. And Allah gives the example of the spider web. He says, "Inna awhana al-buyut la bayt al-ankabut." The weakest house is the house of the spider. This is the weakest house. And Allah is letting us know. I mean, these people came with swords, steel. They came with iron swords. They came with steel. And Allah is saying that, listen, if you uphold Allah, and if you are in the protection of Allah, then Allah, if you go in the protection of Allah, then Allah will protect you with a spider web, even if it's against steel and iron. This is how Allah's protection is. A spider web, and you see that steel, they can easily break it, but you see it's Allah who stopped their iron from breaking their spider web. This is how Allah protects you, and this is how Allah makes your enemies dumb. If we only understand that, see Allah how many examples He has given, that you are thinking that their bombs and their guns and their things can harm you. No, if you're in Allah's protection, then those bombs will not be able to hurt a spider web. They cannot even hurt a spider web, let alone other things. My friends, Allah's protection is what you need. When you have Allah's protection, then nothing can harm you. And when you don't have Allah's protection, then even an ant can kill you. You know, even an ant can kill you. Really? This is what happens. Allah gives this example so we understand these things, my friends. Makes it clear for us. You know, makes it clear for us that what happens. Allah will send the smallest thing to destroy you. Right? So your death will be an example. Yeah, see how you died. Why? Because you never had the protection of Allah. My friends, Allah has made His enemies dumb because they oppose Islam. Anyone who opposes Islam, anyone who opposes Allah, Allah will take their aql away from them. And when they need it the most, they won't have it. This is what happened. It's not that they're dumb all the time. They're dumb only when it needs to be dumb. When they need to be dumb, that's when they're dumb. Right? Yeah, this life, for example, a brave man is not brave all the time. He's brave when he needs to be brave. You know, a brave man doesn't mean he goes around hitting people in the head and saying, "Oh, you want to fight? You want to fight?" That's not a brave man, that's a bully. Right? A brave man needs to be brave when there's a need for it. Not all the time. And just like that, you know, Allah, He doesn't make people stupid all the time. He just makes them stupid when they need to be stupid. That's when He takes away their aql. And this is what we need to understand. Shaitan, he is the first one to lose his aql, and he has shown that in the Quran. And Allah is showing that through examples and letting us know, my friends, do not be afraid. If you are in Allah's protection, if you work for Allah, then do not be afraid. It is Allah who is going to protect you. Really, it is Allah who is going to protect you. If you want to test it in your life and you will see. Right? Test it in your life. I have seen with my examples. Really. Those who stand up for justice here, for Allah's sake, they know what is wrong happening here, they stand up for justice. You see there. You know? They say what is right to the face of the zalim. They say what is right to the face of the oppressor. They say, you have oppressed, you have done wrong, you are helping oppressors. And you see that they're still here talking. And I have seen people, mu'ammameen, people in the dress of ulama, who have pleaded that we love this country and we hate those people here, they're radicals and this and that, and we want to be with you, and they're still deported. Still they're deported. Right? And you know, you look at that, it becomes an example. He said, you know what? You're not deported because they have the power, you're deported because you lost Allah's protection. You know, really, after 9/11, I remember I went to this masjid in Detroit. And, now I know the masjid, I know there are mu'mineen and good people and this and that, right? And, you know, for some reason they had, on the door, they had this big US flag there. I said, hey, I never saw this before. What is this for? This is for protection. This is for protection. We need protection. You know, the neighbors and this and that, you know, if they come by and see this, that we are Muslims and this and that, this will protect us knowing that we are with, you know, we have a flag. I said, which ayat or hadith is this written in? Which ayat is it written in? Or which hadith is it written in? Which riwayat? I mean, I've always heard that, you know, if you want to protect yourself, write ayatul kursi. Instead of ayatul kursi, you're putting up a flag. Where'd that reasoning come from? How's that going to protect you? Ayatul kursi will protect you. Put ayatul kursi up there. That will protect you. Not this. You see, my friend, understand this. What is wrong with us? Because we are starting believing in useless and baseless things. This is what happens to our mind. This is how it goes down the tube. Down the drain, as they say. This is how our faith goes down the drain. Just by these little things. And these little things add up until we start worshipping Shaitan. And disbelieving in Allah. And this is how when we start doing shirk. Associating others with Allah. This is how it starts, my friends. This is where it starts. If you want to protect yourself, then gain Allah's protection. He is the one who protects you. No one else can protect you. And always remember this, no one else can harm you also. No one else can harm you except for Allah. That's why Allah's name is Adar. What does Adar mean? The one who can harm. And the reason his name, his attribute is the one who can harm is not because he wants to harm you. But his name is Dar because he's letting everyone know that there's no one else who can harm you but Allah. No one else can harm you but Allah. Remember that. No one can do anything to you. No one can harm you but Allah. Allah is the only one who can harm you. And that is the harm we need to be afraid of. That harm that Allah inflicts on those who are criminals. That is the harm we need to be afraid of. When He takes away His mercy, we're finished. You know, and you become like Shaitan, the Malun and the cursed. My friends, understand this. Make sure that we understand that this is what we fight for. Do not bend down or go away. Really, you know, inshallah, many things that we can be involved in to show the fact that we are one with justice, one with the Muslim, one with the oppressed. Don't be afraid of being with the oppressed. Really, Imam Hussein didn't have to give his life. Our Imams could have lived a very peaceful life and they could have died natural deaths. You know, heart attacks or, you know, clogged arteries, you know, something like that. Nice peaceful death in the bed. They all could have died peaceful death. Why is it that they're all assassinated? Why is it that they're all martyred and killed? I mean, if they wanted, they could say that, hey, you know what, we don't want to get involved in these things. Just let me lead my life. I'm home, I'm happy at home, everyone is nice, we all are good, you know, let's all just, you know, kiss and hug each other. They could have said that. Why is it that they got killed? And the fact that they did make stand. That they stood up for justice. They stood up against oppression. You know, and if we don't understand the injustice that is taking place in the world today, then really, what do we have to do with Imam Ali? You know, I might as well become a tree hugger, you know. Hey, we all good, let's all get together, you know. You all can go and kill the world, we all will still love you. You know, is this, you know, I mean, what would we have to do with Imam Ali? You know, if you don't see the oppression that is happening to the people of Palestine, what they're going through, and you say that, hey, it has nothing to do with me. You know, the hell with all of them. Let them all die. Nuke them all. Is that the attitude that Islam is teaching us? My friends, this is why, you know, like, for example, we have the demonstration on Quds Day.
It's because of this reason that, you know what, our Imam stood up for the oppressed. When they saw oppression happening, when they saw people whose rights were being taken away, when there's no due process for them, you know, where they have no rights to even decide how they want to live their lives. We need to stand up for those people and say that no, they deserve a life. They deserve the right to choose how they want to live their life. We need to stand up for that. And if you don't stand up for that, then what it means is that we are nothing to do with the Imam. The Imam stood up for that. They wanted their people to stand up for that. Stand up for the fact that people who don't have the rights to do things, let us stand up for them. They don't have a voice, so let us give them that voice. You know, if someone is deaf, if someone is mute, he doesn't know, he has no speech, then if I can speak for him, then let me speak for him. The people there have no voice. They have no way to express their hardship to others, to the world. So if we can lend our voice to them, so that their difficulties and sufferings could be heard by others, then let us at least do that much. Let us at least do that much. This is what it means to walk on the path of Islam, to walk on the path of Ahlul Bayt. The wise Imam Hussein had said, listen, hey, my family is more important than you all. Let me, you know, safeguard my family. You know, you all go to hell. You know, he could have said it. But you see, Imam Hussein showed us that no, this is not my way, nor the way of those people who have honored me. That's why Imam Hussein didn't say that, listen, this is my fight with Yazid. You know, he said that, listen, hayhat min al-dilla, that zilla and disgrace and humiliation is far from us. Far is it from us. Why? He said, it's far from Allah, it's far from Rasulullah, it's because of mu'mineen, it's because of Allah, Rasul, mu'mineen, and then says, hajrat, taabat wa tahurat. He says, and this feeling of not wanting to be disgraced, never willing to be humiliating ourselves, is due to the fact that we were raised by mothers who raised us in a pure way. People who have been raised by mothers who raised them with purity, by feeding them halal, by making sure that what they take in is halal and they stand up for Islam, then you see that those children will never let themselves be humiliated. And if you see someone humiliating themselves and becoming a slave, then what happens is that that person is only because their mothers did not raise them that way. Let us make dua, and as the Imam, we do make dua for the Muslim, the oppressed people throughout the world, especially the people in Pakistan who are right now devastated by flood, who are not able to do their amal of Laylatul Qadr because of the floods. They're not able to do it. Let us do the amal on their behalf. Let us make dua on their behalf that Allah sends them to you. And all those people who are under oppression elsewhere, who are not able to call and who are able to do these things that we are doing here. So alhamdulillah, we need to also remember them. And inshallah, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept the hajat and the dua of all the mu'mineen who are here. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this night of Laylatul Qadr to bless each and every individual who is here for the sake of Muhammad. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to open the doors of relief and blessings for all the mu'mineen here and for all the hardships that they're in, to give them relief, inshallah, so that they're able to go on with their life and worship you with freedom. I ask Allah to listen to the appearance of our Imam,
Make us as helpful when he comes. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.